Turn with me then to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. The world's longest underground river is called the Sacactan. It's a Mayan word, and it means white cave. So the world's longest underground river is found in Mexico. How long is it? 95 miles long. And it's deep, and it runs underneath the ground relentlessly. There may be other longer rivers, they've not been discovered yet, but that's the known longest river. It's deep, it runs underground. And there's a deep within the human soul. There's a deep underground river of restlessness. It's long, it runs. You can't see it, but you know it's there. You might deny it's there, but it rumbles on underneath inside us. And we know it by the choices that we make, by the dreams that we have, by the future that we can plan. And this restlessness, it gnaws at us. It's bone deep. We think we can satisfy it by superficial things. New job. Nothing wrong with a new job, of course. Yeah? Or, you know, new house, or new this, or new that, or the next event, or the next holiday. We think we can satisfy the restlessness within by external things. Better work-life balance. To avoid it, to avoid thinking about it, or to take our minds off it, we can be busy. We can make ourselves busy in doing stuff, in going places, in reading things. To try and take our minds off the restlessness that there is within our hearts. Do you see it there? Do you feel it there? Can you hear it? Deep down, a restlessness. Well, this morning we're going to look at Matthew 11, verse 28, where the Lord Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And this is an intensely personal text between the Lord Jesus and between people. Come to me, he says. Who? All you who labor. And I will give you something. Rest. It's intensely personal. Which of us doesn't need rest? We're bombarded all the time with messages, notifications, demands on our time, sound bites, media, many of us. But there is this restlessness within. Augustine, in the AD 300s, he recognized this. It's the human condition. He said, because you have made us for yourself, he's talking about God, because you have made us for yourself, our hearts are restless. Until they find their rest in you. So that's what we'll think about this morning. Two things I want to mention from this text, verse 28. The first is this, the reality of our restlessness. The reality of our restlessness. When did it begin? When did it begin? Well, it wasn't right at the beginning, was it? Adam and Eve in the garden with God, with the sunshine, the cool of the day, the breeze. Knowing God personally, loving God who made them, walking with God, enjoying the beauty, the visual beauty of the creation everything that God had made, being given work to do with God. They had perfect rest in their hearts. They had joy in his presence. They didn't have this underground river of restlessness flowing deep and strong and for miles and miles. There was nothing to disturb their spirits. There was no sin. There was no trials. There were no difficulties. There was no illness. No death. No corrupted heart which wants to accumulate and thinks it finds life in accumulation. Nothing to upset their equilibrium. They walked with God. But in Genesis 3, when sin comes into the world, what do we find? Where is Adam? Where is Eve? Where are they? They're hiding in the trees. They're hiding from God. Why? The restlessness. Something is wrong. Something is deep within them. Sin has come in. They're hiding away from him. They have distress, pain, shame, guilt. They can't be in the presence of God anymore. There is no rest in the presence of God. There is only unrest. And Jesus here in this text, he talks about two types of people, or two conditions. Labor, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Your life is hard sometimes, isn't it? Life is difficult. We get weary in life. We labor at our work. We labor as parents. We labor in the calling that God has given to us. If you're a Christian, if you're not a Christian this morning, you still have to labor in what you have before you. Labor at relationships. Labor against illness. And it's exhausting at times. We travel through life and we're like the travelers who get weary. And it's labor and it's hard. Harder than we thought. The humdrum, the routine, the treadmill, the appointments, the seeming cycle of life. We get ground down by it. We labor. We labor. And what else do we have here? We are heavy laden. Heavy laden. What does this mean here? It means weighed down heavily. Like a person with a weight on their back. What weighs us down more than anything? What pressures us? What is it that is a burden on our back more than anything else in our lives? In the reality in a fallen world is sin, isn't it? Sin is the greatest burden that we have that lays a heavy burden on us. I don't know if you saw on the news recently about North Korea. They've been sending presents over to South Korea. You see that? The presents were balloons. And inside the balloons, they'd put rubbish, stinking rubbish. And they put the balloons up and let the wind carry them over the border into South Korea. If you think about your sin, it's like rubbish. My sin, your sin, is like rubbish. But you can't put it in a balloon and send it off to somebody else. Because sin clings to us. We're accountable for our sins. Sin is a burden. It weighs us down. Sure, most of us have read Pilgrim's Progress, where a pilgrim is there. He has the weight upon his back. It's like a backpack full of dirty rubbish, and it stinks. That's what sin is like. And you go with it, going through life and with sin on your back. Dirty rubbish. You say, why don't you take the backpack off? Well, you can't. It's locked in place. There's a lock, and you don't have the key. You're not a Christian this morning, that sin, that dirty rubbish can't be removed. That burden can't be removed by you. And you don't have rest. You're heavy laden, conscious of sin. What else causes us to be heavy laden? Well, the conscience. God has put the conscience in all of us. We all have a conscience. And it bothers us. near our house, there's some fields. And at certain times of the year, there are foxes. They're probably there all year round, to be honest. But at certain times of the year, the foxes screech with a mating call. And if you're lying in bed and it's dark, you know, it's 11, 12, 1 in the morning, you hear this screech, your window's open, you sit bolt upright. It's a horrible, horrible sound. If you ever heard a fox screech, it's awful. But they do, in the darkness, and the sound carries. Then with our house, what happens is, Wilfred wakes up. And he starts barking. Because he doesn't like the screech. He wants to get out of his crate, get out of his cage, an area, and he wants to be in the garden defending the territory. He wants to get out there. And he barks, and he barks. So you lie in bed, you think, well, it's going to stop in a minute. And he does stop for a bit. And just when you're dropping back to sleep, the screech comes again, the dog starts barking again, and it's miserable. It's miserable. You can't sleep. You toss and you turn. Hannah and I look at each other. One of us is going to have to get up and go and try and sort it out. And that's, in a sense, what it's like sometimes with sin. That sin is like that screech in the darkness. You're in bed, or maybe you're going through life, and it's a screech, and it's painful, and it pierces. And the conscience is like the dog bark. Yeah, it barks. He barks. He knows that a sin has been committed. Maybe it's a sin from the day before. Maybe it's something that you've said or you've done. And your conscience is barking away. And maybe you're in bed and you're trying to get to sleep. And you can't sleep because the barking of conscience won't let you. You can try and quieten the voice. Try and quieten down the barking of conscience. By doing good stuff, by praying, reading the Bible, doing something, or helping out with a work, a homeless work or something. To try and stop the barking, or trying to relieve this burden that we have. We can try and do good that we hope will overcome the sin that we've done. This heavy laden, this burden that we have on our backs. The problem is, it's a keep it up game, isn't it? We've got to keep doing it. Sometimes life can be and if you played Snakes and Ladders game, where you're moving along and you think you're going forward and you're being good and you're trying to do your best and you're reading and you're trying to obey God and you're moving upwards and perhaps you go up a few paces and you start to climb the ladder a bit. You feel like, yeah, I'm moving forward. And then you sin. You stepped on the square with the head of the snake. And you slip all the way back down the board. You've blown it. You sinned. There's frustration, there's disillusionment. People can be like that. I wonder if you're like that this morning. As a Christian, what do you do with your sin and with your guilt? We can be heavy laden with sin, heavy laden with conscience, heavy laden with the pressures of life, financial pressures, family pressures, struggling on every front, heavy laden and burden, distressing news, health news, future news, family news, whatever it might be, heavy laden with these things, distressing news. Well, what hope do we have? The Lord Jesus, verse 28 says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We heard about invitations to a party this morning. Danny was organizing a party. Who does he have round? Who are the people that he wants to spend time with? Well, it's his friends, it's the people who are fun, it's those who are going to be entertaining and good value at his party, it's those who are upbeat. Those are the invites he sends out to his party, to those people with the funny stories, the confident people. Who does Jesus invite to come to him? It's the broken people. It's the distressed people. It's the people who are sinners. It's the depressed people. It's those who've made choices in their lives. And maybe things have not gone the way they thought. Those with regrets, with sin, difficult people, blunt people, unfeeling people, hard people. The people in need. What a heart Jesus Christ has for people who are laboring and are heavy laden, who are sinners. These are the people he wants to come to him. These are the people he wants to spend glory with. Jesus said, I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. What a heart of Christ. What a heart of love Jesus has. What an offer here for everyone. People rejected by their families, rejected by society, rejected by churches. Jesus said, you're not rejected by me. Come to me. Where else can we go? Only he has the words of eternal life. The reality of our restlessness is secondly turns into the reality of rest in Jesus Christ. The reality of rest in Jesus Christ. You know, in the Old Testament, when Adam and Eve sinned, restlessness, that deep river running deep within us, started. There was the promise in Genesis 3:15, the promise that there would come one who would defeat the head of the serpent, one who would bring victory, God's deliverer, God's messenger, one who would bring rest from the restlessness, from the sin, from the pain, from the misery, from the distress. A boy was born. He was given the name Noah. You know what Noah means? It means rest. Is he the deliverer? Is he the saviour? Well, he was a type and a picture of Christ. Sin was dealt with, wasn't it, through judgment? And there was rest temporarily post the flood. A picture of rest. But it's ultimately fulfilled in Jesus Christ, in the Saviour, in the Son of God, the longed-for one, the one who was predicted, prophesied, pictured throughout Scripture, the one who would deliver, the one who would bring in rest, eternal rest. Israel had rest as they moved into the Promised Land when they defeated their enemies, but that was a picture of the glory that is to come. And the future rest. He says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you this rest that you crave, this cleansing that you need, this newness that you seek. I'll deal with that deep, underwater, underground river of restlessness. You'll only find the solution in me, Jesus says. The reality of rest in Jesus Christ. What a wonderful thing it is. You know this rest that he promises? He says, I will, what does he say? I will give you rest. It's a gift. This is the gospel in four words. I will give you. Gospel is all about giving. Christ giving rest for us. He says, come to me. Don't come to an intermediary. Don't come to a priest. Don't come to a religious figure. Don't come to a church. Don't go to an institution. Jesus says, come to me. I'm the one. Come directly to me. Don't go anywhere else. If you want this rest, how can Jesus give us this rest? He can give us it for two reasons. Firstly, because he labored. He was the one who labored. He was the one who labored in a life that was pure and righteous, without sin. He was pure and spotless. He obeyed his Father in every thought and in every deed that he did and every attitude that he had. He was the pure, righteous Son of God. He labored in life to maintain obedience to God and to serve him perfectly. And yielding his life on the cross, giving his back to those who beat it, and his beard to those who would pull it out, to allow himself to be betrayed. But he labored. He set his face like a flint to go to the cross, because he labored for his people. And on the cross, he was heavy laden for our sins. All of our sin, all of our pride and miserable selfishness. All the breaking of God's law that we've done. Everything, every sin we'd ever committed was laid on him on the cross. And he bore the judgment for it. The law of God was satisfied for our sin. He paid the price. He was heavy laden. He bore our sins. He who knew no sin was made sin for us. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. My sin upon his shoulders. And he bore that. He labored for us. He was heavy laden at the cross for us, in order that he might give us rest, forgiveness. Pure hearts and minds, a future, a glory. He triumphed over the grave. He's gone before that he might take us to the eternal rest. It's the gospel. The gospel to the undeserving. The gospel to those who deserve an eternity of being heavy laden because of our sin. But this is the God of love and grace. This is the Saviour who came, who labored, was heavy laden, and says, come to me. Don't go anywhere else. You know, the Lord Jesus isn't a signpost to something else. He isn't a signpost. He doesn't give us, as it were, a plan for how we might achieve salvation. Muhammad, in the Quran, he's a signpost to the five pillars. Go to Mecca. Do all of these things. Christ says, no, don't go anywhere else. Just come to me. I have everything that you need. I am the only one who can deal with this. I am the only solution. There is no other name among men given by God whereby we must be saved. He is the end of the journey. He doesn't go on past him. It's all in him. Everything that we need is in him. He says, come to me. It means believe me. Believe my promise. Believe my offer. Confess your sin. Trust me with your soul, with your heart. I will give you that rest. The Lord Jesus here is like the Father in the story of the prodigal son. He's watching. He's waiting. He's yearning. He's longing for the son to come before him, and he's looking. When the son comes, the son realizes he's got nowhere else to go. He's not going to get any rest anywhere else. He's been feeding in the trough. He's been in the far country. He's got nothing but restlessness in his sin and in his misery and his distress. All he can do is to go back to the Father. That is the only place he will have rest. And the Father sees the son, and he loves him, and he runs to him, and he throws himself on him. He brings him into his house. He has the servants clothe him in the robe. He puts the ring on his finger, the shoes on his feet, and says, now, rest. Rest here. You found rest. You don't need to do anything to earn my favor. You have it. You don't know anything. You don't need to do anything to build a relationship with me. You have it. You don't need to labor to earn my approval. You have it. come to Jesus Christ for rest. If you've not come before, come to Jesus Christ and find your rest in him. Find salvation in him. Find forgiveness of sins in him. There isn't anywhere else to go. He says, come to me, the pure, perfect Son of God who labored, who was heavy laden at the cross. He can pay for every sin and cleanse you completely and wash you and give you rest in your heart, in that you have peace with God. You have peace with God who is holy. He becomes your Father. He becomes your all in all. So come as you are to Jesus Christ. Yeah, if you're a believer this morning, come again to Jesus Christ. You've got a restless heart this morning because you've got an idol in your heart, or there's sin in your life, or the conscience is barking and won't shut up. Come again to Jesus Christ for rest. Confess your sin to him. Come before him. Throw yourself upon him. You may don't try and clean yourself up. Just come. He's in the business of cleaning us up. He's the doctor. You only go to the doctor when you're sick. Don't try and make yourself better, then go to the doctor. Doesn't make sense, does it? Just go to him. Trust him. You may say, well, I want to come with a broken heart to Jesus. If you can't come to Jesus with a broken heart, come to him for a broken heart. God, give me a broken heart. God, Lord Jesus, show me my sin. If you can't come to him with faith, come to him for faith. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. If you can't come repenting of your sin, come to him and ask you to give you repentance. He's full of grace. He's full of mercy. John Bunyan, in his book, Grace Abounding, he dared not go to sleep. He was so afraid that he would wake up in hell. He was troubled. He fretted. He was considerably tumbled up and down in his mind, it says. But like the pilgrim in Pilgrim's Progress, he came and his burden of sin fell off him at the cross, because he came to Christ who labored and was heavy laden for him. There's salvation for anyone in him, for you in him. Don't look at your life. Sometimes we can look at our lives, you can look at it like you're looking into a black hole, just darkness there. Misery. And hopelessness, no light, no joy. Don't look into your life. Look at Jesus and come to him and trust him. He will give you rest. He's the one who will receive you. He's the one who yearns for you, who longs for you to come. He says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Don't give any excuses like we heard this morning. Forget your excuses. Come and trust him. Believe in him. May the Lord help you by his grace to come and find peace and rest in him. Amen. Let's sing our final hymn. Come to me, you weary. I heard the voice of Jesus say, come to me and rest. Lay down, thou weary one, lay down thy head upon my breast. I came to Jesus as I was, weary and worn and sad. Found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad.
To me.
Lord, we thank you for this wonderful invitation of the Lord Jesus to come to him that we might have rest. And our prayer is that each one of us will come and find that rest, find that life, find what it is to know you, the Lord our God, and to know peace within our hearts. Lord, to find that rest. We know that there is a perfect rest to come, a glory for us as your people, where we will enter into glory for the final time. We praise you for what you have for us. Bless then this time to our hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.